We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Natalie Sisten. Natalie is a coach, speaker, and writer who specializes in networking, leadership, and professional development. Through her experience in the nonprofit, higher education, and corporate sectors, she's realized that everything she ever needed to know, she learned by growing up in a town of 600 people. This inspired her to create Small Town Leadership, a platform with one simple goal, to help make our big world feel like a smaller place. Well, Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Lori.
I'm excited to learn more about Small Town. So where did the idea for Small Town Leadership come from?
Well, it is a little bit of a story, which will be a good intro for your listeners. About 2 years ago, I hired a coach because in my career, just something was feeling off for me. I wasn't feeling fully engaged. I wasn't feeling like I was showing up fully as I could. And through my work with this coach, I discovered that two things that I did when I was younger and even through college were writing and speaking. And these two things were completely missing from my life at that point in time in a pretty prominent way. So my work with the coach led me to realize I needed to be doing more speaking and writing. Well, it was a couple months later. It was one of those midnight ideas that popped in my head. I said, you know what? I think this thing I want to write about is called Small Town Leadership, because the more I thought about everything I'd experienced in my career, and even that you pointed out in my intro, was that truly everything I'd learned growing up in a town of 600 people were the top lessons that have made me successful in my career. So I went out to GoDaddy, I bought the domain and created the website to basically blog and do storytelling for the first year. And it slowly blossomed into this bigger thing over the last year where I do offer more speaking, coaching, and tips on networking. So it's been a terrific adventure so far.
Very cool. How have your small town roots helped make you successful in the corporate sector?
There are two key ways that my small town roots have helped me in the corporate sector. And the first is work ethic. I grew up in a farming community, a farming family, and work was all around me. I've been working in some form or fashion since I was 12 years old. Everything from cleaning office buildings and teaching piano lessons to babysitting. I was always doing something to work, and it's totally ingrained in me. And I definitely saw that in the rural community I grew up in, which is called Republic, Ohio, by the way, for anyone who wants to look that up on the map. So that's really ingrained in me. The second thing is relationships. I tell people that you can approach growing up in a small town one of two ways. The first is that you could be resentful of the fact that everybody knows everything about you, especially those things that you're doing wrong. Or you can embrace the fact that you've got a community that knows you, that supports you, and that is really going to be there for you when you need them. And I've taken that second route in life. And I feel like I've taken that with me throughout my entire career. And I definitely trust people until they, you know, do something where they don't deserve my trust any longer, because that's what I grew up with in that small town. If tragedy struck, people were there to surround you. If there was a celebration, people were there to surround you. And that's the type of relationship I like to have in my business life and my personal life that's grounded in that small town upbringing.
Well, those are both things that I can relate to. Well, my husband grew up on a small town on a farm, and you know, his folks are still farmers. So I very much appreciate and respect that work ethic that comes from that culture. And I find with regards to relationships, there's two different types of people. Mm-hmm. One is you have to earn my trust, and the other is I trust you, and then you basically, you lose it.
Exactly.
But, And I would say I'm definitely on the side that you are, and that I tend to trust everyone, but once you've lost it, it's very, very difficult.
Absolutely, 100%
back.
Agree there. And you're right, people fall on one end of the spectrum from the other usually on that trust item.
So what's your top advice for helping people, wherever they are, make it feel like a small town? Like that's the culture and the focus and the messaging that you're embracing here,
so. Absolutely. I think it really, there's one line that is blazed on my brain, and actually someone said it not too long ago in a seminar I was in, and he said, the seminar was on unconscious bias, and he said, you know, I think what I need to do is I need to talk to more people longer. And I sat back, I was blown away. I'm like, that's exactly it. Talk to more people longer. I think there are so many people in our lives, and I've even labeled these types of people. I call them hey friends, and I have some articles about that on my blog. But they're the people you walk by on a daily basis. You're like, hey, how are you? I'm good. And then you part ways. And you can do this virtually too. It could be people that you just see in passing on your social media channels. You know, you might feel like you know them on the surface, but you really can't scratch any deeper than that. So my whole goal would be for people to explore those hey friends a little more. Who are people that you think you know, but you don't really know? And just jump in. Just start jumping in and engage in conversation with those people. Start to learn more about their life, who they are, what they're all about, what their family, who their family is, what they enjoy about their work. It's just getting past that hello, getting past that hey friend really helps pull people in and be part of that community and help deal with potentially some of the isolation people can feel if they're in a large company or they're in a large city or they're in a new place. So it's all about taking that hey friend and making them a true friend.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. And getting past the hello, I think that's a strong, powerful statement right there. So I know that you've got some expertise in a topic that I
sure.
adore, which is networking. So let's talk about that a little bit. I know to a lot of people, networking is really a scary word. So my goal with this question is help to remove the fear that comes associated with that. So can you share with our listeners your
Absolutely.
Most successful
and I,
or
hopefully,
favorite
by the way I tell this,
that
people can understand that even entering scenarios with a little bit of naivete is good, and it takes a little bit of the fear out of it as well. My favorite networking story goes back 20 years, and I can still recall it to this day, which is why it's such my favorite story. I was just graduated from high school, and being from a small town, job options are limited, ones that have decent hours and, you know, will pay you a little bit more than minimum wage. So I started working on the janitorial staff of a local college. So picture dorms are empty after the school year's over. The crew I was on was assigned to go clean those rooms. So just cement that picture in your brain for just a moment. So the work, you know, work ethics, you know, I can do mm-hmm. that. I could do the heavy labor. And after a week, I'm like, wow, it's probably going to be a long summer. Well, that weekend, I attended a graduation party for one of my high school classmates. We were all talking about what we're doing that summer. And she mentioned, well, I had to turn down the job at the bank to take the job that I'm in. And I remember I didn't even wait a beat. I just turned to her and I said, wait, you said you had to give up the job at the bank? Do you think they're still looking for someone? And she said, well, probably. And the manager would probably be grateful because I did put him into kind of a bind. I said, well, if you wouldn't mind giving me his phone number, I'd love to reach out and offer to go interview for that job. So the following Monday during my break, I got on the payphone. I called the manager at the bank and went and interviewed and started the next Monday. And the reason this is my favorite networking story is that I didn't enter that party to network. I didn't go to that party to say, oh my gosh, this job is going to be terrible, and today I need to find someone who can hire me for a different job. I went into that situation to have a good time, to hang out with my friends, and because I listened closely and I seized an opportunity, it worked out really well for me. And I think that's the key to strong networking, is just seizing an opportunity and being a really great listener. When you can combine those two, magic happens. a lot of times I think people get fearful of the cocktail hour or the passing out of the cards, the business cards, or the fact that they're going to have to be on for an hour at a networking event. And I think just thinking about the day-to-day interactions we have and how those are truly the most magical and important networking opportunities we have, it wouldn't be so scary.
Oh, I love that story. There's so many things I want to touch point on, but I don't want to take too deep into that. But really, you definitely said it, but it's, you never know when you're going to meet someone that's going to add value, you know, or be a resource to you, or you a resource to them. Just recently, I attended a clothing swap, and then it turns out the executive director of a local business improvement district was attending, and she's looking for a speaker on social media. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I came here to change some clothes, but now I got a speaking gig lined up. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Thanks so much for sharing it. So I imagine, you know, small community, but you've got a large network as well, seeing as you've got some experience in the corporate space and you're coaching and speaking a lot. What do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
I love this question because this is probably the thing that people don't do the most. They get so scared of the networking cocktail hour and then they forget what to do with the people once they've actually got the business card. I have a phrase and it's a JDI. It's just do it. So if I'm driving in my car or I'm looking at something online and someone pops in my head and it's telling me reach out to that person, I just do it. So whether that's a text, an email, a Facebook message, I just reach out and tell them I'm thinking about them. So that's one way. Another way is I always make sure that if someone facilitated an introduction for me, or if they helped me in some way, maybe they referred me to a book or a resource, I try my best to circle back with that person to let them know about that outcome. So if I ended up meeting with the person who they referred me to, or I read the book, I circle back and I let them know how that went. Because my thought is if I can let them know that it went well and I took the advice, then they're going to keep giving advice and connecting other people to other people, and the virtuous cycle of networking continues.
Absolutely. It's that feedback loop, which is critical in all aspects of business, including just the relationship side of things. Nice. And I love your JDI. I call that Nike style.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just do it.
I'm writing that one down.
That's good.
So style.
we got a Nike style.
That's right.
Okay. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
This is another good one. There are two things I would impart here. So one is an exercise that I actually have my coaching clients do with me when one of the things they're working on is growing their network. And I have them fill out a networking map. So if you can picture concentric circles, you would have this inner circle would be the first layer. So I would have them label out who truly is in that inner circle, their best friend at work. It's that first phone call you make when something really good or really bad happens. They're the person you're IMing with or texting all day long. So I'd have them identify who's the inner circle. Then I have them identify their next layer out, which I call a secondary connection. And this is a person who you know relatively well, but not the most intimate details of your life, but could definitely have a relatively deep conversation with that person. So you would list out who those folks are. Then I would look at the next layer, which I call peripheral players. And the peripheral player is someone that's probably closer to that hey friend we talked about earlier. So this is a person you might see in passing, you might know them through social media, but you really don't know them too well, but you're intrigued by them. Perhaps their background is interesting. So you would write your periphery down. And then on the outside, I put what's called a dream team. So this would be the way I put it with my clients is like, if this is a person you end up in the elevator with, you're so excited because you've been waiting for this moment your whole life because you've always wanted their captive attention for a few minutes to get their tidbits of wisdom. These could be more people like thought leaders, people you're following on social media, like in Oprah or a Jeff Bezos or a Simon Sinek, something like that. But people who you would love to get 15 minutes of their undivided attention. So I have everyone write out who that network is. And from there, with the goal of growing the network, you look at it and say, where are my gaps? If I'm interested in getting into this kind of career, this kind of company, this kind of function, where am I missing people there? And once you identify the gaps, you look at people who are actually within your network and say, oh, but these people could help connect me to those types of people. So it's really using your existing network to help you identify and grow that network even larger, as opposed to just like staring off into white space on LinkedIn going, oh my gosh, I'm just going to start clicking around here today. So the networking map exercise is huge for me.
I like that. I've not heard that. I've done or I've seen similar things where it's just kind of listing, you know, your top five or your top influencers or center of influence. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard of it taking it to the scale, you know, with kind of your secondary and peripheral and then your dream team. I think that's a fantastic exercise that everyone should do.
Absolutely. And what I tell people is it's not something you sit down in 30 minutes and do. It's something you keep on your desk for the week, because undoubtedly you'll be in the middle of a project going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to put this person in my secondary connections. Or, oh wow, I forgot about this whole other role I used to have and all the people I knew then. And it's just interesting. I like to do this over time because it's really interesting to see how people pull in and out of those layers over time.
Yeah, I imagine there's some up and down, especially, you know, sometimes people move to a hey friend type mm-hmm. of zone that might have once been your inner circle of people, right?
Absolutely, especially in a work setting, you know, when you're day to day with people, they truly become your second family because you're with them all the time and you remove yourself from that role, you change jobs, and it's just not as easy to be as close to those types of people.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, thanks for sharing that exercise. I think it's a really powerful one.
Wonderful.
Let's move to a little bit conversation around digital versus traditional networking. Which one do you find more value in and why?
Oh, gosh. Yes, and? Is this an improv?
Yep. I've done that.
I think both are really important. And here's why. You know, I think with digital networking, we need it. You can't get away from it. And It's how, if you're growing a brand, you know, I'm growing my small town leadership brand, it's super important to have that digital presence and to be able to do exactly what we're doing today. I'm sitting in Central Ohio, you're sitting in Milwaukee, and we got connected through a you know, mutual friend who's in Milwaukee. So that's all done digitally. It's super important. Traditional is also really important because nothing gets past that one-to-one, eye-to-eye contact and just truly knowing who someone is, walking away with a firm handshake. I think it's super important. What I find happening now, Lori, though, for me is I might meet a person in one of these settings and then we change channels. So for example, I had someone reach out to me recently because she was interested in my blog. And the ironic part is someone else had given me her name as someone I might want to interview for my blog. So without knowing it, we were both kind of in each other's little spheres of influence. So we got together in person to do the blog interview. It was fabulous. I could have stayed with her all day long. And from there, we have just remained in touch for the last 3 months since I've conducted the interview. And she has become a key connector for me as I grow my brand. And it's just been pretty amazing that we went from this, like, literally she inboxed me through my website contact button, which I learned through that interaction actually goes to my junk mail. So I now check my, I know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I checked my junk mail that day, because it literally has pivoted some of the things I'm doing with my business now. Yeah. And now I keep in touch with her digitally, but also we do things in person together. She invited me to her holiday party where I was introduced to another 20 people who are in her network. And I definitely got some really true, rich connections in person at that event that I wouldn't have gotten had she just connected me over email with the same people.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. So digital turns into traditional.
Back and forth.
And vice versa. I love that you were both kind of like pinging each other at the same time and didn't even know it.
It was so funny because she wrote to me and I said, this is going to be funny, but you were on my list of people to reach out to. You beat me to it.
All right. So changing up the pace a little bit here. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Wow. going back to my 20-year-old self, it's funny to think about this one because 20 years ago, half the things, well, maybe probably almost all the things that I use to stay in touch with most people don't exist. You know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, my cell phone, my iPhone, it didn't exist. So what I would tell myself is to really be purposeful about curating that network early. So for those listeners who are college age, or if your kids are college age, curate that network now, curate that network in the moment, and make sure that as you meet people, you're pulling them into the right social network for yourself this time. Maybe it's pulling more people into LinkedIn, pulling people more into your Facebook or Instagram feeds. That way you have a way to stay in touch with them. There are so many people I went to college with who are amazing individuals who I honestly have no way to get back in touch with them now without it being some probably pretty difficult search. Either I forgot their last name by this point in time, or they've gotten married, that kind of thing. And I went to Ohio State, so huge school. So trying to peel apart that universe is pretty hard. So I think just curating it in the moment and continuously is super important. And I probably would have done a much better job with my 20-year-old self of writing people's names down and carrying that with me as my record until things like LinkedIn came around.
Well, that's really good advice. And I'm definitely an advocate for working on that network
right
now, especially the students and the younger, the new generation that's coming in. I mean, because regardless of technology, it still comes
absolutely,
down to people.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that I talk to students quite a bit because I'm in Columbus, Ohio. It's a big university town. And when I talk to students, I'm also really careful to make sure I teach them a little bit how to use those mechanisms. So in all of my speaking engagements, this could be college freshmen to seasoned executives, I make them take a LinkedIn oath. Would you play around with me and do a LinkedIn oath?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, but sure, why not?
Yeah, I know. I'm turning the tables on you a little bit here. But this is something I would sell my 20-year-old self to do then and to 20-year-old student now. So I have everybody raise their right hand and I say, I promise, repeat after me.
I promise.
To always. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're doing this right now. Okay, okay. All right. Let's do it again. Okay. I promise. To always. Send a personal note. When connecting with someone on LinkedIn.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. We did it. Yay.
No, I believe and agree with that 100%. So I already do that.
I knew you didn't need to take the oath. That was for a demonstration purposes only. But it really does set people apart. I got a LinkedIn invitation from a college student just this weekend. It was a lovely note explaining how he found me, what he does, and why he wanted to connect. And I said, yes, you may be in my network, young, kind gentleman.
That's fantastic. I love that. And I hope everyone on this planet listens to this and starts practicing that.
That's right. LinkedIn's making it a little easier. When you connect via your computer, your desktop, they pop up the box now to say people are more likely to accept if you put a note in. But if you connect using your phone, it's still a little hidden to add that message in.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everyone knows to click the little dots to add a personal note.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you mentioned that there's some people from your past that you kind of wish that you maybe would have been able to get in front of, but maybe this is the answer to that question, maybe not. But if you could connect with just anyone, any one person, who would that be? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
If I could connect with anyone right now, it would be my co-RA from when I was in college, Tony. So Tony, if you're listening, come find me. And I'm sad to say Tony's one of those people, like I completely forgot his last name. and we were really close then. And it makes me sad that I'm like, you never think you're going to forget Tony's last name until you do. And the sixth degree, yeah, I probably could get to him with the sixth degree. But he's a person who I think about a lot. He's inspired a blog post. And I think that's what spurred it for me, Lori, is thinking about the people I'd reconnect with. There are people I now write about in my blog who I don't have a way to get in touch with them. And how awesome would it be for them to know that they touched me so much at a point in my life that I'm now writing about them. And those would be the people I would go find, or those people who are in my memory, but I don't have a way to reach out to them right now.
Yeah, no, that's great. And hopefully Tony's listening. So I know. Reach out to Natalie.
Okay. You know who you are, Tony.
All right. So as a coach, a speaker, a writer, someone who's advocating professional development and leadership, yeah. I imagine that you read a lot of books. And I'm always curious what books everyone's reading, because there's so many out there and there's so many I've never heard of before. So what book are you reading right now?
Okay. Well, this is like a less straightforward answer, because I'm usually reading three books at a time. Okay. Because I always have to read fiction before I go to bed. So right now that fiction book is called Sisterland by Curtis Sittenfeld. Just a nice little juicy novel. And then on my commute time, I listen to audiobooks when I'm not listening to podcasts. And I just finished listening to Option B by Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant. And I have to say, if you've not read it, if your listeners haven't read it, it's a must listen to and or read book, because it will change the way you think about vulnerability and showing up in the workplace. Very, very powerful book.
Nice.
Yep. And then I'm also reading a professional development book at this time called Playing Big by Tara Moore, which is really helping me with my coaching practice and helping the clients that I serve.
Cool. I've heard of Option B, and I've heard really good things about it. The other two books I have not heard of. So interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no problem.
Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, I do. And I think it ties to some of the things we talked about in terms of who would I go find now today if I could. And so these are my two pieces of parting advice. One is that it's never too late to say thank you. And it goes back to the just do it approach as well. If you're thinking about someone and you want to thank them and show them gratitude, it is never too late to do that. Years doesn't matter.
That's fantastic.
And it's never a bad time to reach out to someone. I think we tell ourselves stories in our head about, oh, this person doesn't want to hear from me, I'm just little old me, or, oh, you know, they're really busy with their career, their life, and they don't have time for me. Like, no, stop telling yourself those stories and just move forward and reach out. And if it's meant to be a connection, it's meant to be. So never, it's never a bad time to reach out to someone.
Those are great. I think those are both fantastic. It's never too late to say thank you, and it's never a bad time to reach out to someone. Fantastic final pieces of advice. All right, Natalie, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, they can reach me pretty much any way that they want by Googling Natalie Siston. It's wonderful when you marry someone with a very unique last name, they'll find me. But in all seriousness, smalltownleadership.com is my website. I'm at natalie@smalltownleadership.com, and all of my social handles are listed right there on my website for folks to reach out and connect with me.
Great, and we'll include all of that information in our show notes.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Natalie. I enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Natalie Siston for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.